welcome in the woman who covers the 76ers for NBC Sports Philadelphia, Jessica Camerato, Sixers Insider. She's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Hi, Jess. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Fantastic. All right. So first of all, were you surprised at what you saw last night, having covered this team throughout the playoffs and seeing the efficiency with which they played, how last night was completely different?
I was surprised by what I saw in game one. As you watch the game, you know, I'm watching it thinking, this is not the same Sixers team that I saw after the All-Star break, going into the postseason on that winning streak, and the team that played against the Miami Heat and imposed their will on their first-round opponent. So, no, it did not look like the Sixers, and that was the theme that was echoed after the game, was the players and coach saying, this is not who we are.
All right, now, we know they're not a great defensive team on the perimeter. They play good team defense. They play good enough defense to win. But now they're playing against a more athletic team than the Miami Heat, especially around their perimeter, and that certainly hurt them last night. So what do they need to do to shore that up?
Well, there are a lot of adjustments that they're going to have to make. And one of the interesting things in this game last night was it wasn't just one player or players at one position that were causing problems offensively. It was Horford, Rozier, and Jason Tatum all scoring above 25 points each. So the Celtics were getting their offense going from a lot of different places. And one thing that Embiid was saying today at practice was that they have to adjust to the fact that their guards are baiting their players. That was the word that he used. And then that helps get their bigs open. And, of course, some of the Celtics bigs, like an Al Horford, not a traditional big where he's just a power forward or he's just a center. He's versatile the same way that Joel Embiid is. So there are a lot of adjustments the Sixers are going to have to look at, because the Celtics don't hit you with just one player at one specific position.
Talking to Jessica Camerato, she covers the Sixers. Now, Jessica, on that note, when they play Horford at the four, it didn't seem like Sarge could guard him. And then when they play him at the five, he had his way on the perimeter, and he dared Embiid to come out and got a lot of open shots. So how will they deal with the dynamic of Horford in the game, whether he's playing with Baines or whether he's playing as a five?
It's the same way that, you know, the Miami Heat had to make adjustments when the Sixers went with Ilyasova at the five and they went small. Al Horford is not an anomaly. He's not an enigma to the Sixers. They went into this series knowing that he was going to cause a problem for them. So the Sixers have been fluid with their rotations throughout the playoffs. Whoever plays game one doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be the person in game two. We saw that when they played Justin Anderson on Dwayne Wade. So the Sixers have 2 days to game plan. We could see some different defensive matchups there. But like I said, going into this, the Sixers were very well aware that Al Horford can cause problems.
Okay, now they also, and Brett Brown decided last night to switch a lot, and his switches, Boston was able to catch Bellinelli and Redick in advantageous situations where, you know, let's face it, those guys aren't the greatest defensive players. So I assume that they've got to change up a little something on that. What do you think they do?
Well, like I said, there's 48 hours to plan there, and one of the things that that Embiid was talking about today was the problems that they had with separations on defense, that they need to just play better within the pick and roll situations. He talked about the pick and pop problems that that the Celtics are causing. So when you have so many players, like, we're not even factoring in the fact of that Jaylen Brown didn't even play. There are just a lot of weapons that the Celtics have that can use their speed, their athleticism. They're really feisty. The Sixers have a lot of work to do, but as I keep saying, 2 days to game plan for this.
Are the Sixers in trouble in your estimation this series based on one game?
I'm not hitting the panic button right now on the Sixers. It's like there were two extremes going on last night. The Celtics were playing excellent basketball, and then you have the Sixers that looked affected by that long layoff since the Heat series. They shot 5 of 26 from 3, only 17 points from the bench. It was uncharacteristic of the Sixers. So those are mistakes that you look at this and you say, well, are they going to make these mistakes again? Is that going to become a consistent problem? No, I don't think so. They have been playing so well to counter all of those things that I had talked about. So I'm not hitting a panic button yet. after game one, but game two is so key. You need to win on the road.
All right. There are two, you know, the fans are overreacting today, as you might expect. And let's talk about, first of all, Fultz. I know that he didn't have any faith in him after he tried to play him against Miami. But I'm thinking, I was watching the game last night, that they really could have used some penetration movement. And he would have given them that type of flavor. Is Brett Brown open to playing him in this series or not at all?
The thing about Fultz is it's not just like, can he go play in this game tomorrow? It's kind of a culmination with him of, when you really look at how little he played during the regular season and how little NBA experience he has and the grand scheme of things, that's why TJ McConnell has been getting those minutes. It's because TJ's been there, not to the playoffs, but TJ's been there before. He knows the system. Brett Brown is really comfortable just giving him the reins, you know, a guy that he's been with for a while. So the NBA is still very, very new to Markelle Fultz, and then to put him there in a postseason situation and say, really just played a small blip on the radar in the grand scheme of the NBA season, it's just that's why Brett Brown is going with TJ McConnell.
Well, I think he's got to change his mind. I really do. I think it's now time for the kid. the kid's got to step up and say, listen, I mean, they've got to go to him and say, we need you now. Enough of the babying thing. We need the talent level that you bring here. We don't have guys like you on the floor. We've got standstill shooters that have to hide around screens. You can get from point A to point B. We may need that movement in here. It's time to take the wraps off him, I think.
And maybe that could happen. You know, I mean, how many of us were surprised in the Miami series when all of a sudden Justin Anderson, who hadn't been playing, was playing a meaningful defensive role against Dwayne Wade? So I don't rule anything out with the Sixers. They could go with a small lineup. They could go with a deep lineup. The thing about the way they constructed their roster is there's so many different players that can be plugged in different positions with different rotations. So not ruling anything out.
All right, so since you brought him up, I got to ask you about Justin Anderson, because a lot of people are clamoring for him, that the Sixers need a defender on somebody. Will we expect to see Justin Anderson in the game, maybe taking a shot at Tatum?
I would not be surprised to see Justin Anderson get more of a role. He barely played over 5 minutes in that game. Anderson is a guy that, like, when you're around Justin in the locker room, he's always just, you can just tell, he's just so energized to play whenever he gets the opportunity to go. So if he gets the call to play defense, yeah, he'll be super eager. Will he get a chance to, you know, try to knock down some three-point shots? Always ready to do that too. So Anderson is a good guy to have on the team because he doesn't necessarily need to play every game, but he's always mentally staying ready, and you can kind of see it going through his head when he's going to get to play. He kind of flips the switch in his mindset.
All right, we will see what happens on Thursday. Long wait for Thursday's game after you lose a game like that last night. You expect it to...
I know, it feels like forever until Thursday, right?
Yeah, are you feeling a Game 2 victory?
I think that the Sixers can regroup. I do. You know, they were game planning for both opponents. They knew it was either going to be Celtics or Milwaukee. Short window of time to actually game plan specifically for the Celtics, but now they know what they're up against. These guys are going to be watching game film so much. Before practice today, J.J. Redick had already rewatched the game twice. And there are a lot of mistakes that are going to be standing out to them. So it's up to them to try to get out to a hot start, because the Celtics set the tone in game one very early on.
All right, Jessica, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you.
All right, that's Jessica Camerato, NBC Sports.